We've got a wonderful guest today that joins us on the podcast, and her name is Mimi Bland, and she's far from being bland, may I tell you that. So Mimi is someone I've got to know over social audio, who's been a powerhouse wherever she goes, and she's a mindset mentor. She's got over 110,000 followers on Instagram. Am I right?
111, actually.
Let's get it right. You know, every thousand counts, folks. She's a best-selling author on top of that 111,000 followers. The answer is you, the formula to master your mind and emotions. How did you get that name?
Just a name that actually came to me when I was doing some meditating and things of a book I wanted to write. And then I had an idea of writing a trilogy, and that was number one. And then I've got two others, another one that's coming out this year. And it was I didn't really understand the name of the book until later on, the significance of what it actually represents. Yeah.
Interesting. I've written a book, and it's called The Secrets of the Soul-Sending Career Mystery. And I must admit, I didn't enjoy it.
You didn't?
I'm better speaking than writing. Did you enjoy writing the book?
Yeah, that book I wrote in literally, I think, about 6 or 7 days. It was a really quick, and it's only an 80-page book anyway. I wanted to really keep it simple just to really show people what it is, the process of what happens. But I wanted it to be easy so anyone could pick it up and understand it.
You must have not slept very much for those 6 or 7 days. I always start off with this first question. In terms of more about you, Mimi, for the audience, how did you start the career that you embarked upon, coaching? You do a lot of stuff in terms of adversity, resilience, mindset, etc. So if you want to talk a bit about that, and then we can dive deeper into the session.
Yeah, so I didn't start this as a business, and I never had any intention of starting it as a business. I really didn't. I went through a lot of adversity growing up, from starting from when I was younger, and there was patterns that had developed. We all have a background where we're programmed from a very young child. And my programming was one of a lot of fear, one of really sort of disliking myself. So it was a lot of adversity that I started off with. And then as I left home in bits and pieces, I then attracted relationships that were I didn't know that at the time because I didn't know anything about it, but I attract abusive relationships, very domineering relationships. And that's where the whole pattern started. And I was like my own mindset was completely messed up, if I was honest. And I went to so many different people for help to try to reset my own mindset. And it never worked. It was always like one day I'd feel better, or for a week I'd feel better, but the problems were always there. And I really wanted to understand what was going on inside of me. So I just went on a little bit of a journey, and I trained in NLP, at life coaching, and Reiki Master, emotional freedom technique, you name it. I tried every modality. But again, it still didn't really hit the mark. It wasn't what I was looking for. And I had a very profound dream when I was 4. It was a vision. And I always had this vision that there was something that I was meant to do in the world, but I didn't understand it. It was a reoccurring dream I had every single night. And it was, I won't go into the dream because it's a bit weird, but it was basically saying that I had a gift, and that this gift would be to share it with other people. Obviously, as time went on, then I understood a lot more about mindset, about who we are. And I went more on a spiritual journey to find out from every angle, so the Rubik's Cube could come together, and then it all made sense after that, really.
They say scar tissue is stronger than regular tissue, and a lot of our life experiences shape the person that we become. But sometimes people stop in progressing and developing. I've got Sony in front of me. We upgrade it a lot. Even though sometimes we don't want to, but we do. But we don't upgrade ourselves. So we stick with the old version of Johnny or old version of Mimi. And that doesn't lead to growth and development. And life changes how you were when you're 21 to how you are in your 30s and 40s. It constantly evolves and constantly changes. And I think a lot of people do struggle with having what I describe the bouncy bum factor, that ability to get back up once you're kind of Now, background that you gave me, what you went through, do you think in terms of how you work with your clients in teaching them or showing them the techniques and abilities to overcome stuff in adversity and resilience is something that anyone can do, or are some people more resilient than others, either by genetics or what have you? What's your thoughts?
See, do you know what? I'm a little bit of a weirdo in the way I think. So I really believe that we choose our experiences before we come here. I really do. So we choose our parents. We choose what we want to learn when we come to this earth plane, as we say. We choose it all before we come here. And we forget who we are when we're actually born. So if you think about it, when a baby's born, we're born whole and complete. We're born loved. We're born healthy. Regardless, we put the stimulations of what health is and everything else, but we're born, all of us, whole and complete. And then we go through these life experiences with parents, with teachers, with whatever situations we're in. And then they change us. They change the way we perceive things. We then create these beliefs, and a belief is just a thought process that you think about so many times that it becomes embedded inside of you. Then there might be you and your brother, say, for instance, both living the same life. And say your mother said one thing to you, and she might say the same thing to your brother. But for you, you might take that, oh, what did I do? What's wrong with me? So you grow up with feeling unworthy your whole life. Well, your brother didn't think anything of it and grows up to have a completely different life. So you grow up maybe taking drugs or going to drink or being unhappy because you feel unworthy all your life. And he grows up to be a very successful person who's happy because he didn't put any story attached to the meaning that those experiences had for him. So it's every single thing that we go through is all to do with the imprinting that we had as a child and the stories we put upon it. So every experience really does create how our whole perception and how we perceive life. And it's not because we don't know, we go through our whole life blinded, really. But if you know the foundations of why you were here, how you became coded or programmed, I'd say, but then how to unprogram yourself, because that's the whole point of life, is to purify ourselves, to get rid of all these programs that are inhibiting us from having a happy life or experiencing what we came here to experience. But we're not taught that. So life's very painful. We get stuck in these patterns and stuck in these relationships, stuck in jobs we hate. And that's where the process completely breaks down.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of generational trauma that gets handed down from generation to generation of their demons and their issues that they have, or the negative self-talk, the negative stuff told to their kids. Oh, do you think you can really do that?
Yeah.
What makes you think you really have to do that? And I often say we either repeat what we've experienced and seen with our parents, or we say to ourselves, you know what, for my kids, it's going to be different. I'm not going to do it like that. And those are the real choices that people have to deal with. I don't know what's your thoughts, but I find a lot of people are lost.
They are.
Either with their direction or knowing who they are.
I totally agree with you, but we're programmed to live in a very negative world. So all I'd say is like a lot of people are living lives that they don't want to live, but it's because they're programmed, again, like you said, from parents that have always said to you, they feel like they're letting down their mums and dads. Even when they're 60s and 70s, I work with guys that are 85, they're carrying patterns since they were a tiny child. And it's like, they don't, all they want is their mum or dad's approval. It's mad how this subconscious patterning really denotes who you are. But you're right, no one's happy. Because they're all living a false life. Then no one's living the life they truly want. And if you ask them, 9 times out of 10, they don't know what they want. And they just say, I just want to be happy. What's happiness to you? Oh, I just want to be free. But what's freedom to you? Oh, I don't want these constraints. Well, then let go of them then. It's like, you want the big house. You want the car. You want the status because you think it's going to validate you. But then they hate that life. A couple of millionaires that I work with are people with high net worth. They make their money because they think it's going to really give them that sort of acknowledgement and people are going to look at them differently. But along the way, they've lost all their families. They've got no friends and they get to the end where they've got money, but they're lonely. They don't want it anymore. So now they want to find out who they are, and they want to go climbing Kilimanjaro or doing all these amazing things in life, because we're brought up to believe that we live in a very materialistic world. And if, unless you have, you are not successful. And it's just such a load of rubbish. It's just not true at all. So the first thing is, like you said, is people figuring out what is it that you actually want, because people don't even know themselves. They're living by an identity that somebody else has given them. So your mom's told you, or your dad's told you, or the teachers have put these limitations on you. But that's not you at all. So it's about really going back to the beginning and finding out who you are and what you like and what makes you happy. And then like tuning tiny little things, small little changes so you can attain it. Because people think, well, I've got three kids now, my life's over. No. Well, no, Robin, it's just a story you're telling yourself. It's crap. So we do talk to ourselves in a really negative way. It's just the way it is. I'm not lucky. I was born on the wrong side of town. I'm like, okay. So it's all these false beliefs and these false stories that we tell ourselves. Because anything's possible. You can have anything. We're actually limitless. There's nothing that we can't have in life if you move out your own way, if that's what you choose, you know, that you want.
Limits exist only in the mind.
Definitely, 100%. You have got to prove to yourself that's true, though. And there's ways you can do that.
A lot of people don't believe it. A lot of people struggle with those self-limiting beliefs, don't they? They say things, but they don't really believe it. And I think true self-confidence comes through experience and achieving stuff. Yeah. That's where self-confidence really comes in. The more you experience, the more you achieve. How did you get into coaching in the first place? Did you start off with a career elsewhere and then decide, you know, I'm done with that and I'm going to make a pivot in helping people with the coaching?
Again, I really believe that every single thing you do in your life, even though you think you might take a detour, is all bringing you to a certain point. We've all got our own destinies, and we all, like I said, that you can't get off your path, that you can't. Life will always bring you back onto that path. So for me, I love children. I always loved children. So I started off being a nursery nurse teacher years and years ago. And then I loved the whole process. So then I trained to be MVQ. I was a deputy of a school. And I realized then the job and the work I was doing with the children was actually I was helping the adults, because the parents were all messed up. They had a lot of issues with certain things. So I'd work on them to make them happy so their children could be happy. So that's where it all started from. And then my children obviously grew up and left home. And I just decided that there was more that I was supposed to be doing. So I went on a little bit of history. I trained as a fashion designer. Didn't like that. I didn't personal shopper. I didn't want to shop for other people. I just like shopping for myself. But there was gifts and skills in there that I needed. So every job role that you have, when you look back and you put the dots together, there's a reason why you needed to be in every job with every situation, because there was something that you needed to learn about yourself so that you could then go forward and do the work you're doing. Going back to this job, I remember just going to sit in the park. I love walking and I love nature. So I was just sitting in the park one day. And then a little man came and sat next to me. And then he just started unburdening himself and started talking about things. And I gave him a few replies. And he said, well, you don't know what you said, but you've literally changed my life. And I was like, what did I say? I had no comprehension. And then I remember going on holiday and I was in India. And I was in swimming in the pool, just standing in the pool reading. It was a Louise Hay book, Power of Your Mind. No, it was, I can't remember the name of her book, her famous book. It'll come to me in a minute. But I was reading Louise Hay's book and this guy came up and he said, oh, I've just finished reading that book. I said, oh, wow, okay. Anyway, started talking to me, started saying how unhappy he was. He was a company owner. And I said, what do you want? He said, I just want to be free. I want to be on my motorbike. I want to go, blah, blah, blah. I said, why don't you do it? It was a stupid conversation. But he came up to me afterwards and said, that conversation literally transformed my life. I've been in therapy for 15 years. And I'm like, what did I say? It was common sense. But I realized that whatever I was saying was having a profound effect on people. So I literally then didn't go into, again, doing this. I just went in because I was so interested. I've always been fascinated about the power of our mind. And I really started researching people that were ill, versus people that healed? What was the difference going on in their minds? Why were some people poor? Why were some people rich? Why were some people happy? And I really needed, I went right down the rabbit hole. Like I'd be up till 4 in the morning, still am every night because I'm obsessed with the subject, but I absolutely love it. It's just, it's an obsession for me, really. But that's how it all started. And then people just started coming to me. And I realized that I had a gift in helping them and that it was selfish not to go forward and to start teaching and helping people, to have a different understanding about it. Because as knowledge is power, but knowledge about yourself is self-empowerment. It really can transform your whole life.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons why I went into coaching, because I was always the person, along with my headhunting business, that people turn to for advice. And it's because of a lot of the life experiences that I've had, leaving the Iran-Iraq war, coming to the UK, not being able to speak a word of English, my dad losing the family home, the business, my mom was thrown, adversity after adversity all throughout my life, and being able to build that resilience. Bill's character in terms of the person that you are now, but it's a process that people do struggle with. And that's why coaches and mentors are good, because they can provide you valuable tools. Now, a lot of people will say to me, oh, is a good coach someone who's certified? No, I'll tell you why. Because you can have all the certifications in all of the world, but it won't beat experience and results. You can teach someone how to swim, but actually what matters is that they actually do the swimming and not just not how to swim. So that's really important in my view. You've now become somewhat of an influencer. How did that happen? You've gone from, you said you did fashion design, didn't really like it, but you're very stylish, by the way, folks. You'll see the videos. How did that come about in terms of becoming an Instagram influencer, etc.?
I don't see myself as an influencer, but for years, I've helped people for free. So people don't know. People look at your life and they're like, oh, you've been on GB News and oh, you was interviewed, blah, blah, blah. And oh, you was at Hugh Grant's birthday party and all this stuff. And they all look at that side of stuff. But they...
I look like Hugh Grant so many years, but interesting, still more.
But do you know what people don't see is that you've been underground for years. That's what they don't see. So they don't see like the last 10, 12 years of working for free. Everyone on Instagram that follows me and stuff, I work with majority of them and help them for free. So I've never charged anyone. I've answered their questions. They'll write to me, I'm in this dilemma, whatever. And you help them. So one thing I realize is that people watch people for a long time and they watch you to see if you are authentic, if you're true, if you live by your own words, because like you said, there's so many fake people out there. And I'm not being rude. There's a lot of coaches that are broken, that do not practice what they preach. People go to them. They get no satisfaction from them. So it gives everybody else a bad name. And you can't do an online course, or you can't just take a week's course and think that you can help people. Every single one of us has the gift. We all have our own gift and we can all help people that cross our paths. That's a fact. When people have got trauma, when they've got real issues, you have to know what they're going through and how the body and the mind are connected to get them out of it. That's why I think like a lot of the celebrities that go to these therapy centers and stuff, 9 times out of 10, do they work? They keep relapsing again and again and again till all you hear of the tragedies of them committing suicide or they've died. And I think it's so sad. Because they're not being taught the right way about, as you said something a little while ago, which I didn't answer. But when people are struggling and they say they have good intentions and they want to change their life, they're doing that with their minds. But it's not our minds that needs to change. It's our bodies. Our bodies are controlling our minds. Our bodies are literally programmed with past emotions to keep us safe. But it's a recording. It's a program. You can't just infiltrate that program by saying, okay, I'm rich, I'm happy, I'm going to be skinny, I'm going to live my best life. Because the program encoded in your body is saying you're unworthy, you don't deserve anything. So they're completely in disharmony. So you have to go in and reprogram the body first of all, and then your mind will follow, but not the other way around. And that's where everybody gets it wrong, because you go to these talks and you talk about what was wrong, and all they do is you rehash what went wrong in your life. We all know why we're messed up, but it's okay, let's forget about talking about the problem and let's move on and find the solution and build a new vision with new emotions that are more empowering, that so the old ones, they start losing their tangles and their hold on you, and their new vision becomes so empowered that you're excited. You stop looking back, you start looking forward, but it's just not the way we're taught. So really want to start educating people. That's my number one thing now. Like, a lot of people won't listen to it because they're so entrenched in their belief systems. They're like, oh, no. I spoke to a lady yesterday. She said, no, my friend's got this illness. Had it in 20 years. Her mother had it. They've been diagnosed. I said, it doesn't mean she's got an illness. Yeah, she's been on medication for 25 years. You know, there's nothing you can do. It's genetic. I said, there's no such thing. That's rubbish. That's just a program that we've been programmed to believe. That's not true. Our body is a communication system, and it's listening to us, and it's responding to us. And everything that's going wrong in our bodies is trying to communicate that you're not happy. You have gone off track to what you really want in life. And when you bring your mind and body into harmony, your body heals itself. It always does. And that's from any sickness and illness. But the thing that kills us is the fear. That's what really kills us. Fear and stress breaks our immune systems down. But again, it's not what we're taught. So it's very hard for people to have a new belief system, because it's like, hang on, let me filter that through the program. That's not in my, it's not in my library. So it's very difficult.
Yeah, they say stress is the missing link to disease.
Absolutely.
I think if it was just fame and money that made you happy and ultimately successful, then the most happiest people on earth would be billionaires and people who are film stars. For example, film stars are disproportionately in rehab, disproportionately have more suicides. So there's something more. And that something more is, in the end, is meaning and fulfillment. What most people want is to have a meaningful life, which equals ultimate success. And those are three aspects. One, meaningful career. Two, meaningful relationships. You're lucky you can count your good friends on one hand, and a partner to share that journey of life with. And number three is to make a difference. But people associate difference with Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, celebrity. We all make a difference, and it's understanding that. But the keys to it is meaning and fulfillment. There's 5 million profiles with the word coach on LinkedIn. Yeah. 5 million. There's a coach for everyone. How did you be able to, one, differentiate, and two, you said you did a lot of work for free. And a lot of people say, when it comes to business, oh, don't do three. When you do three, it's very difficult to then get people to pay for your services. Some people do a 3 kind of initial call or something like that, yes. But being able to change that mindset of something for free, because we live in an age where information is readily free. So I think sometimes people have no qualms buying a phone.
Yeah. Okay?
I'll spend money on a phone, pair of shoes, a coat, whatever, a holiday, and no qualms about products or experiences. But when it comes to themselves, unless they've got a company where they can maybe deduct it as a taxable expense for training and investment or whatever, or the company has an N&D budget in terms of paying them for the coaching, people are very good at spending other people's money. Okay, that mindset is not difficult. But when it comes their own money and to invest in coaching, especially in the UK, we're still behind the curve to the United States and Canada. There is resistance there. How did you make that change, and what's your thoughts on that?
Well, for me, I really think like what people are really searching for is worth it, that is wholeness. People are seeking to feel whole because they have a void. So whenever people have a void within themselves, they try to fill it with money, alcohol, sex, relationships. So there's a void inside of them. So what people are really seeking is wholeness and then fulfillment. I really know one thing I'm very passionate about teaching is self-mastery, which self-mastery is the ability to think on purpose. Because when you learn to master yourself, you stop reacting to everything that's external. So we live in two worlds, the world outside and the world inside here. So what people don't understand is, like, we're always looking at what's happening around us by using our senses. So we're like, oh, we're seeing this, and oh, Joe's doing good, or oh, Mary's got more clients or whatever. So we're always factoring in what's external by our senses. But that's not what our senses was actually given to us for. Our senses was given to us to be able to, like, when we eat a piece of chocolate cake or when we're having some Haagen-Dazs, to see what it looks like, what it smells like. It's all part of our experience to feel what it's like, because that's what the senses are for. But we're using everything in complete opposition. So the external world, if you're attached to it, like, negatively, you're always going to be looking at and contemplating and always reacting to everything externally. But when you go within and you do the internal work, you can then change the external world, because it will match the pictures and the imprints that you're imprinting. So for me, when I want something or when I am creating something, I just go inside my laboratory, do the work internally, and then the world outside changes. And that's what people don't understand. So when we talk about the collective consciousness, that means everybody, how everyone thinks in the whole world. The reason why the world is such a mess and business and everything else, because everyone's focusing and talking about the things they don't want. So they're joining these stupid rallies and fighting against this war, fighting against this staff. That's completely the opposite of what we should be doing. But again, we're just robots not knowing how our own system works. We're working against ourselves continuously. To answer your question really is that there is no competition in life. There really isn't. For me, the reason why I'd done a lot of free work was because, again, I was using it more as I was testing out certain theories that I had. So I wanted to know, okay, if I tried this theory with you, how receptive was you going to be? If I said this to you, what was your thought process going to be? And it was like, oh, rejection, rejection. Why are you rejecting it? Because you've got blockages or resistance inside of you. Okay, if I try this way. So I was using it all really for research for myself to see what works, what doesn't work, what people are more open to, and how to change consciousness myself. Because that's been my whole big thing, is about eliminating pain and suffering in the world. But we're the cause of it all. There's so many ways we could go down this rabbit hole. I don't want to take it on one of my, I get a bit passionate. But really, it's just about knowing what you want. What is it you want? What's your intentions and setting it? And then the right clients will come to you. So for me now, I've always set the intentions to work high. So I work with high net worth clients. They pay me substantial money. Then I can work with everyone else for free. And not just that, I always had the model of, like, the disciples. So if you work with the high net worth people and they have a following, if you change them and you give them a transformational experience where you change their whole life, then everybody below them want to know what's happened. So then they're more susceptible to taking in more information, because we're very much show me when I see it, I'll believe it. And we're teaching, no, you have to believe it and then you'll see it. Nobody wants to know that, because they want quick fixes. Like Love Island is like, you go on there, you find a partner, you get married, we're all happy. That's not what life's really about. It's the journey. You have to do the work.
Yeah, really interesting. Some people might say, how did you go to do this for free so much, which is amazing that you did that, shows your good naturedness and where you're coming from in terms of your values and your heart, to then get into a high net worth circle, which, let's face it, they have obviously a lot of disposable income to invest in themselves. The reason why people become successful is because, one, they do invest in themselves and they utilize resources in order to get on in life.
Yes.
We're all just one relationship away from a game changer.
Definitely.
Sometimes people try to look for that for their whole life and it doesn't happen for whatever reason. But with high net worth individuals comes a certain level of expectation and demand, from buying a house to business to coaching, whatever it is. They want the best. They expect the best. How are you able to transition from having doing something which was a vocation, but yet you did at the beginning wasn't monetized into a business, to then become for it to become a proper business where you were facilitating the top end of the market.
It's just like I said, if you know the reason why people don't get what they want. So I work with a lot of people, and I've, like I said, I've been testing things out. I work with a kid, like even a young boy who was 19, 20, wanted to be a pilot. So I said, I'm going to take you on for free because I wanted to prove that this theory works. So again, he had no money. He literally had, there was no resources. There's no way he could become a pilot. And he was so stuck in his head and about, like, you have to have this process. You have to have this money. But I paid for him. He lived in Spain. I paid for him to go on a simulator. And the plane he was going to be flying potentially was the plane he would fly if he was a pilot. So I paid for him to go on there. He went on there and I told him what he had to do while he was immersed in that experience. He had to feel it. And he had to, no, he had to neurologically implant it. You can clip, you can do this with your fingers and implant it so it's inside your body neurologically. And then I showed him, he had to visualize, he had to write down, he had to script, all these things he had to do every day. And he'd be like, oh, nothing's happening a week. Stay on it, stay on it. Then a week later, it was like, oh my God, so, someone approached me and we had this conversation. Then a week after that, oh, this conversation's happened and they're going to fly me to Miami. They're going to pay for my pilot's license. Cut long story short, he became a pilot and he passed his pilot's license. But so all I'm saying is the magic doesn't happen out there. The magic happens in here. And when you work internally, then things externally change. Now, why does it not work for some and it works for not work for others? It's because if you think you're unworthy of receiving it, then you're never going to get it. So it doesn't matter how much work you do, doesn't matter what you say to yourself, you do all these affirmations, you do this journaling, you follow the training, but if you don't think you're worthy of receiving it, you're never going to receive it because you're like, I don't feel worthy. There's somewhere inside of me. I want the money, but I don't feel worthy of having it. But it's a story inside of us. That's why the belief system that you have is faulty. You need to replace it with a solid foundation of beliefs that are working for you, not in opposition for you. When you've got that, then whatever you want will come into your life easier, much easier. But again, we stop it because, like you just said, you think it's hard. How could you go from there to there? You could go like that in a blink of an eye if you believe you can. But again, it's all you think about it, to work with top-notch celebrities or to be flown in jets all around the world. No, that's only special people. And you got to go through this process. Not at all. You could meet someone tomorrow in the pub and they could transform your life, one conversation. So it's always life is responding to you. And when you understand that, it's what your output and it's your vibration, it's your energy. When you change that, then your life can start changing. And it might not happen overnight because we are all emitting a signal. So if you think of yourself as a tuning fork and you're stuck in the ground, your thoughts aren't even in your mind. Your thoughts are outside of you. So whatever you're constantly thinking and emitting and how you're feeling is sending the signal out. So if that signal's one of lack, deprivation, or worry, fear, you're bringing back situations that are going to match that signal. So it's really important to get that signal like crystal clear. So it's all in alignment, your mind, your body, your free flowing, it's your vibrational signatures matching what you actually want to attract back into your life. And that's the parts that people don't teach you. So for instance, I'll give you an example. If you've been diagnosed with cancer, okay, it's serious. A lot of people are dying from it. It's a horrible thing. But the reason why a lot of people are dying from it as well is because you're factoring in that once that seed's been dropped into your head, 9 times out of 10 people die. And you only know 1% of people that are actually going to live. So you're researching and you're looking at all the cases. 9 times out of 10 people that go to chemotherapy, they get sick on the journey to chemotherapy just for the knowledge that people get sick. So that's how powerful your mind is. So you can't tell yourself that my life's going to change, this is going to happen, but then you're selling your house and you're already preempting leaving a will for your children. Then you're feeling bad, you're going for the chemotherapy, it's breaking your body down, you feel sick every day, which then makes you feel more sick. So the whole process is working against you being healthy. So if you think you're already healthy, health is who we are. But what is blocking you from being 100% healthy? So what's keeping that sickness inside of you? What emotions have you got to release? What trauma have you got stuck inside of you that's not working, not letting the system flow? Get rid of the trauma, let the system flow naturally. Keep your mindset on where you're going and create the vision of being healthy, living healthy, walking as a healthy person. Your body and mind have to catch up with you. But if you're in an environment as well that's making you feel even more stressed and fearful, I'm not saying they're bad goals, you go into a hospital and all the fear around the death and everything else that's going on and the expectations that, you know, this is your outcome. It's all programming. It's all seeds being dropped into your mind. And unfortunately, unless you master yourself and you become resilient to any information that's external from you that's not in alignment with where you're going, that's, you're going to be susceptible to it. And that's the sad thing.
Yeah. Most people concentrate on the worry rather than the solution to a lot of things in life. They just fixate on the worry, but they don't spend enough attention on how to try to solve that problem if they can. And it's an important thing because we all have a weakness or something where we're more susceptible than other things, where we can deal with it very well. But it's acknowledging that, looking to do something about it, maybe in terms of solutions, as much as possible. What was your big break in your coaching business?
As in client-wise or...
Yeah, like when you thought, proper business now. I've made it, because I always feel like that we can always do more, become better, because this lifespan, knowing more, becoming better, where you feel like, I'm on my way. This is a big break for me.
I've had a few of them, but I think really, there is no, what I would say, cornerstone or what I would say, this is it. So for me, like, life's a journey. For me, it's always about who you become. So I always gauge everything I do about who am I becoming. So who do I need to become now to achieve that? Who do I need to become to go and do that interview on TV? Or who do I need to become to do this next role? Because it's not about the healing, the money, the success. It's about who you need to become as a person to be able to achieve what you need to achieve. So like today, I had a phenomenal call. I can't say what it is at the minute, but I would say that's going to take me in a completely new direction. I'm in a massive situation. But again, I've been calling this in. I've been specifically scripting, writing, preparing myself, seeing myself doing this, walking, talking as it. It's a discipline. People say, oh, positive thinking. It's not positive thinking at all. It's a training. If you go to the gym, you train your body day and night to get those six packs and to make your body get into shape. For weeks and months, you might not see any change at all, but you keep with it because you know it, eventually you're going to start seeing the results. It's the same thing. When you train your mindset and you train your body, it's a discipline that you have to follow every single day. People get to a week and then they're like, no, nothing's happening, and they go off. You could just be waiting 2 minutes later, you could have a break. But it's a discipline. Every single day I get up, 5 o'clock, I meditate 1 hour. I get up after that, I do my gratitude, I journal, I drink my special drink. I have a routine that I do every day, no matter where I am, if I'm on holiday, wherever I am. It's now become part of my personality. It's regimented.
Yeah, discipline and having that routine is so important in being able to fulfill your potential. The vast majority of people don't, for many reasons. And some of it is lacking structure and discipline and routine. So it's all very all over the place when it comes to that. The art of networking. Has your networks, or have you developed networks that has aided your success? How much has your networking led to your success?
I would say everything's about the people that you meet. It's all about having, like you said, you can sit indoors all day long and not meet anyone and nothing's going to change. You can't just wish, it's not just positive thinking. And it is about you attracting, but you have to take the action. So you take inspired action. Most people take action when they're not in alignment and then it all goes wrong. So for me, networking and being in the right place with the right time, people will come to you, and that's a fact, because you draw people to you. But being in the right environments with the right people is massive. Because if you're trying to create wealth and you're around people that are broke all the time, or their mindset's absolutely limited crap, They got no vision of ever wanting to go any bigger. They're just like, no, they're happy with their dog and their cat and their pint of beer each week. You're never going to get anywhere. So who you surround yourself is very important. But one thing I have realized, like last year, I joined a few networking groups, a few networking women groups and things, and they were great, but sometimes you join them for a different reason. So for me, certain groups showed me that there was a lot of broken people, a lot of people that actually makes you realize that, wow, you've got skills that you didn't realize you had, which is a good thing. But then become very selective about who you choose to be around, because certain things aren't always as they seem. So some things can drag you down, so they're not actually uplifting. So it's about evaluating, always evaluating if something's serving you or if it's not serving you. But definitely being around the right people is definitely massive. So, but again, you don't need, I was very naive to think you needed certain people to open certain doors for you. You don't need it at all. The things I'm doing now, no one's opening any doors. I've been doing this because I've been calling it in. And I realized, well, I actually didn't need to go down that route at all. But you think you do. So we live in a very shallow world, unfortunately. That's all I'd say. Very shallow. So for instance, if you want to do TV work, if you want to, so for me, my ethos was the more people you can speak to and the higher you can get, the greater impact you can get verbally. So more people can hear you and you can make a massive change in or try and imprint in the world. So the way you do that is by going on TV, by certain people knowing who you are, because then your name's out there and you're like, oh, who, Mimi? Let me check her Instagram. Oh, she's done TV work. She's done this. Yeah, she can come along. So you're seen as a certain person. So unfortunately, we do live in a really fake world where you have to have a profile before even people will even look at you. So that's something else you've got to do. You've got to keep, like I said, working constantly, doing clips, meeting people, doing some free work, going to certain events, being photographed, because it's all building up. It's like your CV. It's like your CV to be able to get into other opportunities. Because if you don't, it's really hard to break that next bracket unless you know someone who can open a door for you. But people want to perceive you in a certain manner because you must be amazing because you've been on the TV. Oh, we want you because you as that part, you must be special. It's crazy. It's a really crazy thing. So get yourself a camera and photograph yourself at some prestigious events.
And the camera will be very kind to you. But in terms of, it's true what you say, because it's the halo effect.
Yeah.
And some coaches have actually built a business on the back of halo.
Yeah.
And networking group, as we come to the finish history of this podcast, networking groups, a lot of them I found to be quite disappointing.
Yeah,
like they stated a lot of what they were about, yeah. But what I found was the best business or the best kind of relationship you get is where you see the real person more. In more of a kind of social, more of a relaxed spin. If you're going to a formal networking event, they're already quite rigid and they're being hit left, right, center. And you're just not going to have that connection, or you just won't have that time for that connection. Yeah. So I've done thousands of networking events in the past with my headhunting business, and hand on heart, not good, not really good at all. And the best kind of contacts and relationships I've had is through random meetings, introductions, referrals, happen to have the same thing in common, whether it's I love tennis, for example, and then they get to know the person rather than what you do. Because in the headhunting world, for example, it's very saturated. So it's like they tune out. And they say data is the new world. Attention is way more the new world. It's getting a person's attention. What's your thoughts on that before I ask?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. That's how I've always done my work. That's how I always do my networking. It's about relationship. My two sons they're amazing at what they do because everybody loves them. They build relationships with people. And I think you've either got that ability or you haven't. All I'd say to anyone here, the most important thing is always be authentic. Don't try and copy anyone. They're always told if it's a business model, copy it and then make it. No. be you and do what makes you happy. Do what you love. Don't just do it for money, because when you do something you love, then the money follows anyway. But always be authentic and be passionate, because people buy from people, and they can tell if you're just trying to be an Instagram influencer that's trying to get you to buy their products or buy their stuff, but you've got no interest in them at all. Because that's how, for me, it's always been about coming from the heart. And when you come from the heart and you're true and you're authentic, people want to know you. They'll bend over backwards to help you. Even if you ask them for help, they'll be there to help you because you've helped them. So it's about building those relationships, and the right people come along, because like you said, you're attracting the right people to you as well. And then the ones that aren't in alignment with you, they just fizzle out. They just leave you because they're not in the same journey as you and on the same energy path as you. So yeah, just be authentic. You never, ever... Don't think there's competition out there. You can be, do, or have anything, because you just have to believe it. You have to set your intention. You have to know what you want. And regardless of what's happening around you, when you plant that seed in the ground, stop digging it up every 2 minutes. Just water it, leave it alone. Just do the routine, do the work on yourself, and it will come into fruition. It always does.
Yeah, I love that. What's next for you, Mimi?
At the moment, I'm writing my book number two, which is How to Think on Purpose. I'm doing another book as well. With this one's called The Billion Dollar Mindset. So I've been interviewing a few people, some amazing people actually going to be in the book, very high end people that have overcome adversities, people that have won gold medals with no arms, no legs, people like Simon Cowell. Wanting to know from all scopes of people, how did they create the mindset to achieve what they achieved and overcome adversity, from being in a car, being poor, to being a multimillionaire? Most of them I've interviewed so far, they didn't even know that they had a process. It's been really exciting. So that project's coming out. And like I said, I'm getting involved in a couple of other little projects I can't talk about at the minute. But yeah, for me, all I want to do is I really want to give back to the world now. I want to teach a new foundation, new belief system. Because really, if we can learn to master ourselves and we can eliminate all medication, all needing anyone else to help us, because we don't actually need anyone. If you've got the right tools and foundation, you can then just keep going in and resetting yourselves. We don't need anyone in the world, really. We're self-contained. And I really want to teach people how to do that. So that's my big objective over everything.
And what's your best socials? People to reach out to you if they hear this podcast.
Yeah, Instagram is mimibland.london. LinkedIn, mimibland.london. I think I'm just mimibland.london everywhere. It's simple. Website, mimibland.london.
It's all me. Thank you very much. We'll have to do a LinkedIn audio at some point. Obviously, I live there, actually. But yeah, it's been great speaking with you. Thank you ever so much for all your time. This has been Mimi Bland and the Recruitment and Careers Club podcast. Thanks, Mimi.
Thanks, Jeremy.